Hello, EAU podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in to this 69th episode in our series. I'm Laura Rumbley, Director for Knowledge Development and Research at the EAIE, and I'm delighted to share with you today a conversation about skill development through international education. We thought it particularly meaningful to turn to this topic just now because we find ourselves in the month of July, which is when the United Nations observes World Youth Skills Day. In 2023, the UN's focus for the day is on, quote, skilling teachers, trainers, and youth for a transformative future, with specific attention to equipping young people with skills for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. To explore this ambitious agenda from a very concrete and relatable perspective, we reached out to Natasha Sparharen of Aarhus University of Applied Sciences in the Netherlands and Hélène Rongeau of ESA, School of Agriculture in Angers, France. Both individually and in the context of the long-standing partnership between their institutions, these two colleagues are engaged directly in work that aims specifically to boost student skills, academically, personally, professionally, and interculturally, for a better future. Synergies for skill building is the topic for our episode today. We hope you enjoy this lively cross-border conversation very much. Hélène and Natasha, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to chat with you today. Thank you for joining me. I'd love to begin by asking each of you to say just a couple of words of general introduction about your institutions, where they're located, their essential profile, just some basics like that. Hélène, may I ask you to start with this?
Yes. So we are a school of agriculture and food management. We are created in the end of the 19th century. We are a very old school. We are located in Angers, in the northwest of France. We have about 3,000 students in our school, and we have a new localization in the west of Paris, in Saint-Quentin-en-Yvelines. We opened the new site in the beginning of this year. It's a very new place for us.
Fantastic. Okay, that gives us a nice initial snapshot, and we're going to be digging in more deeply to both of your institutions. Natasha, if I could get your introduction as well.
Yeah, sure. Aarhus University of Applied Sciences is located in the Netherlands. We have three locations, rather small university, student numbers per location ranging from 700 to 3,000 students. And we are focusing on all sorts of courses in the green domain, bachelor, master programs, associate degrees, agriculture, green environment, applied biology, but also teacher training, especially for teachers in the green domain. So teaching agricultural or biological type of courses.
Excellent. Okay, fantastic. Also a wonderful baseline of information for us to know where you're coming from. So both of you today are in conversation with the European Association for International Education, and obviously internationalization in education is our main interest. I'd love to know what you might be able to tell us about how your institutions think about internationalization. So, you know, to what extent and why are international engagement, international experiences, and learning opportunities important for the students and staff at your institutions? Natasha, may you pick up this one first for us?
Yeah, sure. I think for our university, internationalization is very important and always has been important. We celebrated 65 years of existence this year since the organization started. I think that at least half of that period, internationalization was on the agenda, so to say. It's important for us as a university, for our students, because originally we were an agricultural university, and agriculture is really international, especially in the Netherlands, exporting many agricultural products. So for that aspect, I think related to the future job, we have to internationalize as a university, but also I think that being a European Union member, it is important to also educate our students what that means, being a European citizen. What does it mean for your future job? What does it mean in your daily life? So they have to get that background as well. I think it's very important as well.
Thank you so much, Natasha. And actually, I think within the context of the EAE, we do not spend a lot of time thinking about agricultural education or talking about that. And my mind immediately goes to a place of thinking that that's a very local activity, dealing with, you know, the earth under our feet directly. I know we're going to talk more about why this is actually not the case, and there are many international dimensions to agricultural education and implications, but I think it's great that you've already, you know, put that on the agenda for us here that we'll talk about more. Very interesting. Hélène, internationalization, why is it important for your institution?
It's important for our institution, and I think mainly for our students. I think it's very important for the students to be curious and to be able to be involved in our meaning. They have to learn how to do in their country. It's very important because perhaps they have to work in their country. But I think it's very important for them to meet other students and to meet other teachers, teaching differently perhaps. And I think it's interesting for them. And it's interesting because it's always interesting to have a placement abroad for students, but I think it's very different to live in another school during few weeks, because it is another way to learn, and it's very important for them. I think so. And when we start our collaboration with IRS, the purpose is to offer the possibility to students, technical students, not in a master level, but in a bachelor level, to have the possibility to go abroad to learn.
Excellent. So really digging into that internationalization of the learning experience.
Yes.
Seems quite relevant and important. Very interesting. And I think that resonates with a lot of people listening to the podcast and working within the EIE's community. So your two institutions sit in different countries, but you have shared interests in some key areas. You've been talking about agriculture and food systems education. And I know for some 25 years, your institutions have been collaborating in the delivery of several different training programs. The original of these, I think, being a joint degree called the European Engineer Program. Could you both tell us a bit about this program, how it began, and why? And I'll let either one of you pick up on that as you would like.
So we started actually with Angers as one of our first partners that we really started to develop a program. And I think it is an interesting program that we started, actually quite, I think front runners as well in terms of joint programs, because we saw that together we can offer something interesting. ESA was offering a more technical program to their students. And in at that stage, the French system was not as such that the students could easily, move forward to a bachelor or master program. In our system, we were able to invite these students to join our programs or bachelor programs. Do part of their studies and complete a full bachelor as such. So we started to, think about such a program, how we can combine each other's strengths come up with a joint program where the student would graduate at both locations, getting a degree from both institutes. But especially for the French student, it was very interesting to also get a bachelor degree at the end of that program, because in the French system, that was not possible to continue study, so to say. So that was the start, I think, of our cooperation.
I think the beginning, it was for only the diploma from IRS, and then we start a licence pro. And then it was a joint program with Licence Pro in France and a Bachelor EED program in Netherlands. And I think the students spend 1 year and a half to have two diplomas, one from the Netherlands and one from France. And it was very interesting for them, particularly for plant production students, for example, because there is a lot of international companies in seeds, in breeding, and it's very important for them to know those companies and then to learn English too, because and some of our very old students are still working in Netherlands, and they are able to teach your own language, not only English, but also Dutch. And it's very important because it's open mind for them, and it's allowed them to work in those companies who is very important to speak English, because all the meetings are in English, even if the meetings are in France, because it's a Dutch company.
So really very interesting to think about, you know, 25 years ago, these considerations of the business skills or the exposure to the different kinds of business environments, the language skills, and the technical learning that can also be, you know, obviously front and center in this kind of shared program. So we're 25 years into this, and you're already alluding to some of the benefits, but I wonder if you might reflect with me on, as you think about that history and how the program has evolved, the benefits of the partnership between your institution and or maybe some of the lessons learned in the face of challenges that you've experienced in this work together in this particular area. So Natasha, any thoughts on some of those benefits or challenges?
Yeah, well, I think that the what we have shown after 25 years that this is a good partnership. I think that that's the most important lesson or biggest benefit, really, because this good partnership allows you to build various things, new things. And I think that what you learn in such a good partnership or a partnership can survive if you're flexible, because it's interesting that you can build something because you are different. So there's an added benefit. But that's also, again, the challenge. And I think that that's something that we really learn to appreciate the differences and overcome the differences at the same time. So we have developed various other cooperationships. The countries, so to say, the cultural differences or the educational differences, we get to know quite a bit. And I think France is a very interesting partner for the Netherlands. In agriculture, but also in general in education, it is France has something to offer to Dutch students for sure, and we have something to offer for French students. So I would say it's a good partnership. It's an easy partnership, and we developed cooperation in bachelor programs, but also it's quite easy to call each other currently to just say, okay, well, I have a project idea. Can you join us? Because we went through many different situations. So it's easy to get to a point where you say, okay, this will work for both of us.
If I could stick with you for a minute, Natasha, and go back to some of those differences between the Netherlands and France and the different kinds of opportunities that offer students to grow and to think differently about their work. In a previous conversation you and I had, you were alluding to the fact that there's a particular approach or mindset toward agriculture in the Netherlands that differs from that one might say prevails in France. Could you talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah, sure. The agricultural systems are quite different, I would say, or the agricultural development in the countries, but it has, well, various reasons. I would say that we went in the Netherlands much more to a more industrialized agriculture, large scale. And I think that if you look at France, it's much more still linked to the soil. They keep the regional benefits, and there's really much more appreciation in the system and in the culture by the consumers for the craftsmanship, for the differences in the regionality. Whereas we went much more towards mass production, you could say, We are price takers in the Netherlands. So the production is very much price driven. And I think in France, thanks also to the culture, there's much higher appreciation of the quality of the product, not from a systems perspective, but very much from a taste perspective. And stick to your region, support your region. I think that these elements are much more in it.
Yes, perhaps more local products.
Hmm.
Yes, the agriculture try to promote local products more, I think, that in Netherlands.
Hmm.
And again, just from the perspective of a student, how interesting, you know, to be exposed to those different ways of thinking.
Yes.
About how this can work and what and the benefits and challenges of those. So we are today in 2023 sitting in the European Year of Skills. And it turns out since 2014, the United Nations has observed World Youth Skills Day every July 15th. Your institutions are involved in fostering both international learning and skill building among your students. So I'd love to ask both of you, what excites you about this work of helping students develop these various skills? And in what ways might you like to see skill building opportunities for students to be strengthened or expanded in the context of either your particular institutions or in higher education more generally? Hélène, might you have some thoughts about that?
I think our joint program allows students to learn how to work with other people. I think people not only speaking English, but also perhaps people working differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's very important for them, because from a part of our students are in an agricultural family.
Mm-hmm.
They spend a part of their life in a farm, so they know a lot the farm life, I think. And I think it's very important for them to be allowed to know other people, other way to work, other way to do. And I think they open their mind and they could be surprised. And I think it's always very interesting because they think, some people do something like that. I never imagined that. And I think it's always very interesting. I think it's the same for the Dutch student coming in our program in France, because they work with our students in the school, but also in placement in France, for example. And they are also quite surprised of the organization of the day, of the way to work. And I think it's very important for them too. And it's very important to be more tolerant, because if you can know the other people, it's always better than only imagine what they are.
Exactly. To have the actual proof in your own experience.
Yes.
And as you say, that notion of surprising and delighting, there's a lot of hard work embedded in education, but to have those moments of wow, or
yes.
Oh, I never knew, you know, is really,
yes.
That sticks with you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Natasha, any thoughts from you about, you know, this idea of the future of skill building, or what gets you up every morning kind of excited about what you're doing with and for students?
Yeah, well, I think the exciting thing is really that you have the privilege to join young people, so in a phase of their lives where they see many challenges, do many new things, but they also rapidly develop themselves. And I always feel it's a privilege that you may join them on that journey for a short part and see the development and see them transform into a professional. For me, that is really why we're in education. And I really can relate to what Alain says, because if you think about skill building, you would think about, okay, how to learn how to drive a tractor or something like that, right? So the very technical skills. But really, if you're into internationalization, it is much more about indeed open-minded, a tolerance, which is so important, getting to know your neighbor and understanding your neighbor and starting to appreciate the differences, that will bring us so much more for the future, which is crucial in many, many elements, I think. and also for the students to build coping skills, because internationalization is not only fun, it is very often stressful and challenging. If we are able to guide that process in a proper way, so not to avoid the challenges, but to make it bearable, so to say, we can help them to build coping skills. And this is something that maybe can be painful at times, but I'm very sure that in the long run, this is something that they will benefit and they look back at.
Absolutely. So we have been talking just now about, you know, helping students build skills. And we do a lot of work, I think, within our institutions with colleagues, you know, around skill building. But just a personal reflection from each of you, as you think about yourselves and any skills you might like to spend some time developing or improving, what skill might jump out to you as something that you're interested in furthering? Hélène?
I think to work together, we must be flexible. I think it's always our world with Natasha, because we do the learning education differently. But I think it's always interesting to understand how to do them, the IRS manage the training, the bachelor program and things. It's always interesting for me. And it's, I think, always interesting for Natasha to know how I, for example, we build a new bachelor in ESA. We start a new bachelor 2 years ago. And I work with Natasha. I do some exchange with Natasha to explain how I things to do. And we have a discussion. And it's always interesting. And when Natasha has a new idea, we can have a discussion too. And I think we move together. And it's always interesting because we are in two different learning systems. And I think there is something to do to work together.
Yeah, to bridge those differences.
Yes, yeah, always.
Exactly. Excellent. A skill, Natasha, that you might like to further develop?
Yeah, well, if I'm sitting around the table with Hélène, she always reminds me that I have to work on my French again. There was a time that I was able to speak some French, and I really have that on my bucket list to become proficient in French. So one day we will be able to do that for sure.
Excellent. Oh, that's a wonderful goal. Wonderful. Well, to wrap things up in conversation with you both, if you were to give one piece of advice to colleagues out there who are thinking about developing a partnership that's really rich in skill-building success for students, that also very much stands the test of time, what would that advice be? Hélène, what would you say?
My advice is to be open mind, to could have discussion, and to be open mind to new way to do. I think it's very important. And I think my advice is to do that because our students are very happy. I think when we are a teacher or a bachelor manager or people working in a school, I think it's interesting to do. It's not always very simple. I think we can tell that. It's not always simple. But I think it's a very, very, we are very motivated because our students learn a lot. I think, so try to do that because for the students is a very, very good way to learn.
Wonderful. Keeping them at the center and an
yes,
open mind.
Yes,
in that work.
I think it's the most important.
Yes. Okay. Natasha, a piece of advice from your side.
Yeah, of course, I totally agree. You have to keep your focus on the students. And in the partnership, you have to be able to appreciate the differences be willing to see that it's not the same. It's similar, it's not the same. But that was the reason why you wanted to work together, because it's not the same. That makes it interesting. But it also demands to be patient and to work. It's like a marriage, so you have to make sure that you invest in it, spend time together, really like in a normal relation. You have to spend time together to also understand each other, and spending time together also means that maybe you are sometimes not spending time on discussing the things that are on the table, but just spending time to really connect and get a deeper understanding of what motivates the other, the individuals that you're working with and the institute that they represent. Because if you get that deeper understanding, it makes it easier to also overcome challenges, because then you see, okay, well, I understand your standpoint. We have a conflict here, but I at least understand what you're coming from. And that helps me to also see, okay, can we think along together again to find solutions that may work both for you and me? And I think that is very crucial. So really invest and take time and be patient.
Natasha and Alain, thank you so much. This has really been a fascinating conversation to learn more about the synergies around relationship building and maintenance, and really this idea of how we do this in service to students as they're developing skills in a variety of different areas. The way that you model certain skills in your relationship and partnership is really very impressive and very informative for others. So thank you again for spending some time with the EAE today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Those were our guests, Alain Rangeau of ESA, School of Agriculture in Angers, France, and Natasha Sparharen of Aarhus University of Applied Sciences in the Netherlands. You can learn more about our guests' backgrounds and find links to additional resources connected to this topic by checking out our session notes for this episode. Skill building has been the focus of this conversation, and there will also be many opportunities to hone your skills, expand your knowledge base, and network with colleagues at the upcoming EAE annual conference and exhibition. As I hope you already know, we'll be in Rotterdam this year, and it's time to get registered if you haven't already. Regular registration closes on September 1st, so act now to avoid the late registration fee that applies after that. And as you consider your conference plans or actively prepare to join us, we invite you to check out the conference website to gain some great insights into how you can help us achieve some hashtag EAE green goals. These relate to our very serious and dynamic efforts to continue to make the conference as sustainable as possible. In other EAE news, the deadline to submit your article for the next issue of the EAE member magazine Forum is fast approaching. The theme for this issue, the 2023 winter edition of the magazine, is Across Disciplines, Across Boundaries, which explores how interdisciplinarity intersects with internationalization. Article submissions should be between 800 and 1200 words in length and are due by August 7th. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening and also for sharing and liking us on your favorite podcast and social media platforms. Our August podcast episode will be available before you know it. Until then, all good wishes to you from the EAE.